know, GPO is very pleased that in partnership with our nation's depository libraries, which you just mentioned, we can showcase the value and significance of the historical documents that these libraries manage and make available freely to the American public as part of their collections. I think the 100th anniversary of the sinking of the Titanic has renewed public interest that captured worldwide attention back in April of 1912, including that of the U.S. Congress, obviously. The U.S. Government Printing Office began publishing what is known as the United States Congressional Serial Set in 1817. And the serial set has been distributed since that time to depository libraries. It's a treasure trove of primary source material that includes House and Senate documents used to determine legislative intent, as well as investigations and expeditions of the federal government. The serial set is named because of the sequential numbering applied to the volumes. So back in 1817, we began with volume one in the 15th Congress, and today those volumes number more than 15,000. Within each congressional serial set, each of the congressional reports and documents is also given a number. So for that reason, we call it the serial set. And it's a treasure trove of all sorts of content, especially in the 19th century and the early 20th century. It included reports of great expeditions, including maps that today are very historic and rare. It included information published today from the Foreign Relations of the United States and also the Decennial Census. So the scope of content in the U.S. Congressional Serial Set is not just on the Titanic and the hearings and report published 100 years ago, but it also is primary source material on, for example, Native Americans and history, African Americans and the Civil War, women's rights, and inventions and military history.
Sure. So now, do you find
that broad appeal?
As events happen, like commemorations, like this 100th anniversary, does interest? Do you see interest increasing in the documents related to that particular event?
Absolutely, and I'm not sure, but would like to invite all of your listeners to come and visit our GPO 150th exhibit. As you know, we celebrated our 150th year last year, and our exhibit is still available at the Government Printing Office at 732 North Capitol Street, and it includes published works and examples from the U.S. Congressional Serial Set. I mentioned earlier these historic maps of the 19th century, and on display is an etching done by artist James Whistler, which is actually his first published work. He worked in the cartographic section of the U.S. Coast Survey. The exhibit also includes the 127-volume set of the War of the Rebellion. That is a compilation of all the official records of both the Union and Confederate armies, and that was published by GPO in the late 19th century.
We're speaking with Mary Alice Bache, Superintendent of Documents Government Printing Office. I want to get back to the Titanic for a minute. I think a lot of us have seen the James Cameron movie, The Titanic, so we have an idea of what exactly took place from there. But going through these records that you have, what are some of the things that people don't know about what happened on that night?
Well, I think the most interesting thing, as it raised international interest, is that within 4 days of the sinking of the Titanic, Congress held its first hearing. They had passed a resolution authorizing an investigation. The investigation was completed throughout the month of April and into May, and the hearings and report were actually published at the end of May of that year. I think the most important thing for me, looking and reviewing the hearings, is that Congress called more than 80 witnesses. Many of them were eyewitnesses before their special subcommittee, and the hearings were held both in New York City at the Waldorf Astoria and also in the U.S. Capitol. The hearing transcript, which is part of our U.S. Congressional Serial Set, is over 1,100 pages long. And the report, which summarizes the hearing and includes the subcommittee's conclusions about the causes of the disaster, is, of course, much shorter. I'm not sure if you were able to read the report, but one thing that came out in the movie and also in many of the books of the Titanic has to do, of course, with class. And there are statistics in the report about the number of deaths in the first class, second class, and third class, which was very much documented in not just the movies on the Titanic, but in the, you know, hundreds of books, and many of them on based on content from the congressional serial set, historical research of these primary documents, which have led to the interest today on the anniversary of its sinking.
And I guess the other interesting takeaway is that Congress acted so quickly. As you say, within 4 days, they were underway. Within a month, they had a report. Nowadays, it would take them 6 months to get a committee together, and it would probably be 2 years until they came out with some kind of definitive conclusion.
Yes, and I think probably because of the serious nature of the sea tragedy and its international aspect, Congress did, as you say, Tom, work very, very quickly. I'm not sure what your favorite parts of the report were, but when I'm looking at a congressional report or hearings, I'm especially interested in what recommendations they made. And for anyone who can access the report, on which we do have available online, pages 22 and 23 have those recommendations, including recommending that foreign inspection laws have to comply with the inspection laws of the United States Congress if the ships are to visit a U.S. port. Another recommendation is that any ship must have a sufficient number of lifeboats to accommodate every passenger, that all members of the crew have to be trained on how to get passengers into the lifeboats, how to get them up and down into the water, and also that lifeboats be assigned every passenger on the ship before the ship actually leaves harbor shortly thereafter.
And I guess the most interesting thing I saw was that I never realized J.P. Morgan owned that big tub.
Yes, yes, yes. So that's why I'm saying that this is primary history. When we think of publications of the U.S. Congress and publications of the federal government that have been distributed by GPO over the last, you know, 150 years, these are primary source material. And as you mentioned, there was a time where they may have mostly been of great interest to historians, but today there's a groundswell of public interest into the history of our nation. And the serial set, again, as I mentioned, is a treasure trove of content. It's available in many of our federal depository libraries where people can come in and freely look at the contents. It's used for genealogical research. There's a lot of military information, a great deal about the Civil War and women's rights and our early federal government interactions with Native Americans.